Frankie's story, February the 12th, 1984, day three. 2 minutes past midnight, the team had left 3 hours ago. Just as the race was on, we'd had this new sickening blow. Another girl taken. The abductions beginning all over again. The images played like the frames of a film. We knew precisely what he'd do. I closed the thought down. I had to. I locked the locks. I drew the bolts. I taught myself not to imagine, not to go back there, not to remember. Not going with them was about that.
The Unforgiven by Barbara Machen.
Grab the camera, Mel. Some film, lighting rig, the tent. I'm calling SIO. Everyone outside in 5.
Tell him or her to keep the plods off the ground around the car. Fingertip search the entire area.
Aren't you coming?
Well, and there's no point. It'll be nightmare central.
We should all be there, Fergie.
Just bag Boyd's book and the lipstick and bike them back, yeah? Dust the car interior and take it all for fibres, trace, anything.
Hey? I'd rather have you with us.
Well, I'm going through Boyd's files and exhibits. His boss wanted them gone. What better reason?
Stay near the phone.
Yeah. Stay warm. Stay safe. It was snowing harder. Huge skylights in the roof were the lab's attempt to connect with the outside world. On a clear night, the windows framed stars. Planes passed without sound. The building cooled. Death kept late long hours. And now new snow filled up the glass. A soft covering had blotted and melted the light all day, reducing us to strip lighting and the acid glare that buzzed the mind and flayed the eyes. Working my way through Boyd's files, I was finding questions, not answers. And my demons waited, just beyond my reach. It was true. There'd been no actual need for me to go, but it was more than that. And Spencer sensed not to push me.
Frankie, look, sorry. Can you come?
The driver was way too keen. He eyed me curiously and then asked if I wanted the slow or the fast route. There was only one answer, obviously. He flicked the blues and twos and took off through the snow-clogged city. The double seatbelt held me like a straitjacket, but the G-force still thudded my chest. Wrong side of the road, jumping the reds, black ice corners, slide spinning till he hit the gas again. Vehicles scattered to avoid us, life blurred. I got out unsteadily, and before he got my kit, he showed me the bullet hole in his driving seat. And did I fancy a drink? Did I, hell? But not with him. Besides, I'd given up booze. And then there she was, the puppy.
Hey, thanks, Frankie. Over here.
Even in a ridiculous fur hat with ear flaps, she looked good. So annoying.
Can I carry anything?
Oh, it's okay. Butch Cassidy's on it.
Who?
Oh, my driver. Don't ask.
Can you dump it by the lights? I've got my bag.
Okay, Mel, show me.
Right. He dragged her from her car. He was parked just there. He dropped his hat. When we were packing up to go, the wind sprung up, started to throw the snow all around and blew the top layer of the light stuff off from here and underneath. Look, frozen from earlier.
Might be a trainer. Complex tread. Cross country? It's fairly clear and frozen hard. The covering snow must have protected it. But how do we know it's his? Were there others?
We're sure. From how he dragged her, he leant against this tree. Maybe propped her up. We've got fibres. He scuffed all over his other footprints.
Oh, he would. He's Mr. Careful. But there's always something if you look long and hard enough. You had it photographed.
Photographer had gone. I've called him back.
So you haven't photographed this at all?
No, not yet, but...
Oh, for God's sake, Mel!
Well, sorry, I tried, but flash on the snow, it just bleaches out. You can't get any details. Spence said wait.
What, for it to collapse? Great!
Oh, but it won't, will it?
Well, it might!
Spence said you could make a cast.
Oh, in his dreams. Get me a camera now, please!
Right.
And something to cover this. A golf umbrella, a tarp, anything!
On it!
What do you think?
Well, this could be a key. Probably the most crucial thing you've found.
Exactly.
And it's unprotected and unrecorded.
Keep your hair on. You've only just found it. The photographer's racing back. We'd only take rubbish with our camera.
We'll take it anyway. Polaroid anything. It could snow again any minute. Anything could damage it. Keep the lights off it. Jeez.
I'm on it. Tent as well. I'll sort it all out.
You can do a cast, yeah?
Well, I'll mix the dental stone right now. But it's risky. It goes hard from the inside out and sets really quickly. So it attracts heat from the surrounding area, which means, guess what? It melts the very impression you're trying to preserve. I'll add some snow to cool it. Can somebody get me some hairspray?
Mel?
The photographer's back.
Oh, thank God. High contrast everything and give me some scale on every shot.
Yes, boss.
Okay, here we go.
Shield me from the wind. Not too much, or the spray will melt it. Okay, the best bet is build up the impression of the tread and try and keep it from collapsing. No, take a look.
Mud?
Well, it could be nothing, or it could be everything. I can only confirm it in the lab, but I'm sure it's not from here. Can't be. The ground is frozen and in deep snow. This is residue from somewhere else. This could tell us where our man's been.
So where he's taken her?
Exactly.
But if you gouge this stuff out, Frankie, you'll destroy most of the middle of the print.
Or the whole cast may turn out to be useless anyway, and then we've also lost the sample.
You can't destroy the only decent print we've
Pass
got.
Pass me the specimen boxes, Mel. The photo's finished, yeah?
Frankie.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a forensic decision. I can still make a version of the tread. I have to take this debris for analysis.
But the court, Frankie, the defence...
Court's too damn late if we don't find her, Spence.
There's brusque efficient and there's aggressive indifferent.
You have more words than anyone has a right to, Grace. And I wish you wouldn't lavish them all on me.
Mel's desperate for your approval.
So I'll try harder. I'm sorry.
What is it, Frankie?
Hypothermic, hyperglycemic, hypervigilant. But hey, at least I'm not getting married.
Oh, poor Spencer. I left him on the phone explaining why he hadn't booked the honeymoon yet.
Ah, the we're madly in love get us out of here routine.
Banter is usually deflection.
That's me, incurably deflecting. Thanks for letting me stay.
Hypervigilant?
Jesus Grace, I broke my unbreakable rule. Getting a lift with you.
We've got 5 hours. I light the wood burner. I can't sleep straight away. Drink. We need a drink. I've got a nice smoky single malt.
Oh, thanks, but no.
Wine then? Red? White? Gin?
I'm not, drinking, Grace.
Oh, right. Good. Well, good. Good for you.
And there's nothing good about it, Grace, trust me. I miss it like an old friend. Saw me through every crisis, and now we've fallen out.
Some friendships are toxic.
Spoken like the psych meister you are. Oh, 5 hours, Grace.
Mm.
Oh, no. Good night.
Good night, Frankie.
I couldn't close the curtains. The freezing night poured off the glass. I had to be able to see. I couldn't risk it. Again. The bed was cold, unyielding. My life came in like a tide. Only Boyd knew. The only one I ever trusted to know. He'd taken that with him. And now he waited with his life on hold, waited for us to bring him back. Snowlight filled the room. I drifted, and that night flowed back, like it does. Doesn't take much. My breath slowed, my heart raced. Back with the footsteps. Not the radiator calling. Not the boards breathing. Not the house shrinking with darkness. Not the snow on the roof slipping. Not the footsteps that stopped at the door. The shadow in my room. The handle turns. It must be a dream. The room full of shadows and sleep. Not real, then real. In my dream, in my not dream, I wake. The dark space around me fills. No dreaming. The hand and no breathing. The unspeakable.
You were dreaming.
I'm sorry. It's okay. I'm sorry.
Shh, shh,
shh. I'm sorry.
You were calling out.
She just lay down and pulled a duvet over us, both fully dressed. And we slept. Instantly. Another made me safe. We walked into the still falling snow like ghosts. And she didn't mention it once. I drove through the silence of the snow-held city, and we kept the quiet between us, like a promise.
Okay, update on Judy Denimer from the DCI on the case. The usual rash of false sightings after the parents' appeal. They're doing all the usual and the extra mile. Nothing. They're desperate.
So we've got to use the past cases for all they can tell us. What might he do all over again? What's our time scale?
Well, when the bodies were found, they'd only been dead for a few hours. So from abduction to dump, 3 days, almost exactly, for each one.
OK, so our clock began at 10 last night. 3 days.
Well, what if he's changed his MO since he worked with McTeer?
He almost certainly won't have. The abductions became hugely ritualised and almost a form of safety. We have to assume that and use every detail we know.
Okay, so he's taken us somewhere like the house. A new house?
Somewhere he can be sure is safe. Hidden, yes.
So find her and we find him. Frankie.
Right. Simple stuff first. No prints on the lipstick. It was left prominently.
So a sick message, not a mistake.
Yeah, thanks, Mel. The car was clean. He obviously grabbed her out, so no fibres. But where he leant on the tree, we got fibres from his coat. A camo jacket, winter marine type, grey and white. The drop beanie hat, that was a mistake.
Well, he'll be really sick about that.
Yep, white, so he couldn't see it easily and he didn't have time to go back. Only him to deal with his victim this time. She struggled. She fought him.
How do you know?
Microscopic spots of blood on the hat fibre. She obviously drew blood, probably his face, with her nails. And here is exactly what we needed. The blood on the hat matches the blood on the jacket from Jilly's room. We've linked him forensically.
Good work, Frankie. What about the trainer print?
The cast's not brilliant, but worth a try. I think it's a boot with a specialist sole.
How do you ID a footprint?
Not easy. We've got an archive. It's a real slog. Actually, you could help, Mel.
Or I could do it for you.
Yeah, good. He's light, wiry, I can tell from the depth of the impression.
And he's strong and skilled to overcome his victim.
The light switch device in the death house, it's pretty expert, all of which indicates army or ex-army.
And the debris? Tell me it was worth it.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Just mud then?
Mud's never just mud, Spencer. We may have got ourselves a break here. I've found diatoms, live and fossilised.
Which has to be good.
Well, they can indicate a very specific location, especially the fossils. I've also found nanoplankton and pollen spores. Once they're analysed, there's a good chance that we can pinpoint where he's been.
And where he is now? Can you make a rough guess?
Well, there are thousands of different diatoms. The biggest are like grains of sand. The smallest are microscopic. Likewise, the pollen and spores. I have to do an initial assessment and then consult a specialist. I began the trawl, an ocean of images. The others talked onwards, and I listened while they worked. I needed to stay inside the picture. The beauty of fossilized cells swam under my microscope. These prehistoric creatures could hold our secrets. Spheres, stars, ellipses, cones, ribbed, boned, spiked. The most exquisite planets of life. I isolated about 50, then turned to the pollen spores. My nightmare clung to me like a hangover.
Dropping his hat will have rattled him, but he'll dismiss it, as he'll assume it can't endanger him.
Oh, which is far from true.
But he'll think that. He has to maintain control and feel he has that hold over us. And over McTeer, who's closed right down, of course. It'd take a special pressure to crack him open again. I'm sure his accomplice is in contact with him and keeps the pressure on him.
He's left us Boyd's book again, and this time the highlighting is about a forensic detail never solved.
Well, that's a direct taunt. The binding marks on their wrists, made by a thin, unidentified plastic. He underscores that. He can't resist it. It's a sort of challenge.
Maybe it's really significant, but he thinks we'll never solve it.
And that gives him a thrill. Could be.
Mel, can you dig out all the post-mortem photos? All four girls.
Yeah, got it.
So they worked together, and they had their roles. The accomplice is the planner, and the rapist.
Gosh, how do you know that?
He prepared the rooms for that very purpose, Mel. McTeer was the observer and the disposer, watching and killing. That was his thing.
But with Jilly, without McTeer, he had to kill and get rid of the body.
Which is why they were different. No sexual pleasure in the killing for him, only risk. And he spilt blood, so he had to seal the room off.
He's forensically aware, so he knows that the body never found is safest.
But the missing girl's our priority.
Yeah, and the stuff on his boots is about her, surely. He's not going to have dump site on his boots after 3 years.
Well, he might have both. The treads are deep and intricate. It could easily be a mixture. I mean, let's see what we get. I've isolated the key components and had them biked over to my expert.
Couldn't you come over here?
She could not. This is cutting edge, Spence. She's a world expert in microfossils. She'll need her archive, her assistants, and specialist equipment. I rang her early. She's cancelled everything. She's working on it now, but it won't be an instant. It was the best lead we had, but now we had to wait. And I had to make a decision. What to do with what I'd found in Boyd's files. What he told me to look for when he left his second message. The one I told nobody about.
Finally, McTeer's brief is sending over his disclosure document, so at last we get to know what exactly they've got on Boyd.
Spencer?
I'm on my way to the commissioner.
I pulled out the photo from Jilly's file and stared at it, and then studied the close-up I'd made. That one section. I could destroy it right now, and no one would know. Something a scientist must never think, let alone do. But this was the desperation. This was the blur between right and wrong, and how you can recalibrate your mind. Outside, a blizzard overwhelmed a spill of sun. Giddy with light, the roofs and car park had blazed briefly, and in minutes, whirling flakes closed it all down again. A world without perspective, disorientation, and loss. I was lost.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Well, not okay. Actually, something maybe I could show you.
Of course. But just to warn you, well, so you're not caught off guard? Jenny Boyd's outside asking to see you?
Oh, no, too busy. Please tell her.
She's insisting. And frankly,
no, Grace.
She's desperate. She won't talk to me. She promises she won't take long. She understands she can't disturb you.
She's spoken to him?
No. She was adamant. That's the problem. She hasn't.
Ricky?
Right, I'll be back for you in 5 minutes.
You doing all of this for Peter?
Well, I mean, we all are. If McTeer wins his appeal, Jenny, he'll incriminate Boyd and walk free. This is day 3 of our 5, which is why...
I know. It's okay, I know. I mean, no more pretending.
Sorry?
About you?
Well, I don't understand.
Don't be coy, Frankie. I found a letter.
Not from me.
From him. To you. Asking you to go away with him. To leave it all behind, to start again.
No.
He didn't send it. Maybe he asked you instead?
No. He said we shouldn't see any more of each other, and so we didn't.
So it's over?
Yes. Has been. For months. Look, Jenny. I'm sorry.
Only for yourself, I imagine. How long were you lovers?
It wasn't like that.
Please, don't lie.
Look, he slept with me a few times. We weren't lovers.
Expect me to believe that?
It's the truth.
I know, Peter.
I swear.
He said he loved you. The letter.
Was never sent.
Sex is irrelevant. In his head, in his heart, he was with you.
Yeah, but in his life... He was and is with you. It's over, gone. I am sorry for both of us.
He left me a message yesterday. Answer machine. He said it had been an awful mistake. That he wanted a second chance.
So?
So I had to be sure that you weren't trying to save him because you thought...
No. I don't.
Thank you. Please try and bring him home.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. The Met-friendly QC, if there is such a thing, has just taken me through the detail of Mattia's appeal allegations.
This is new evidence, yeah?
So they say. But he confessed. He said he was the sole offender, although he always denied Jilly.
But Jilly was wearing a jacket found from where she was snatched, and fibres from that were found on McTeer.
He says that's part of the fit-up, that he had nothing to do with Jilly.
But the fibres on this evidence card were tapings from McTeer. I confirmed that Jilly's coat fibres were on him.
But they could have been added?
Technically, of course, and no. I didn't check all the cards, and yes, the number on this one was missing.
Erased?
And I should have noticed. So it looks like I was part of it.
It's thin ice. They couldn't be sure to win this, but Jilly's locket, the log, shows Boyd found it in the lining of McTeer's wallet.
But that's not proof. Someone set him up.
But here's the bombshell. They're saying they've got his thumbprint on the locket.
Oh, show me that. And the close-ups. Well, it's a partial for a start, and it's smudged. I'd have to carefully analyse this.
They say they're sure. They've examined it against the elimination prints given by all the team.
Yeah, rubbish. We need a second opinion. For a partial, you need an expert assessment.
OK, it's worth a fight, but we need to go bigger. We need to deliver the accomplice and discredit Mattia in every way.
And so they left me. I pulled out that photo again. Jilly Bristow's bedroom, photographed after her disappearance, black and white. There, in the background, out of focus, blurry but clear enough, there it was. On Jilly's untidy bookshelf was her locket. The souvenir he didn't take. No one else had registered it. And in later photographs, the locket wasn't there. Was Boyd part of this? I couldn't believe it, but mine wasn't the devout belief of Spencer. I knew Boyd was capable of anything. I mean, he'd rung his wife only a day ago and said that we'd been a terrible mistake. He'd cheated on her in the first place. Oh, God, I was back in the blizzard. Cross one line and you can cross them all. No one else had noticed it. No one else might. But whatever happened with that thumbprint, they didn't have to have this. I tore it up. And worse, I pulled the negative out of the file and lit the corner. The film buckled and shrank into nothing.
Frankie, Grace said a veggie burger, but they only had sausage rolls.
Oh, I love sausage rolls.
Oh, right. Well, I bought you two. Ooh. And coleslaw, but if you hate
no,
it...
No, I love coleslaw.
Oh, it's just that I
Look,
thought you should...
it's really bloody nice of you, Mel, and yes, I know I'm a grumpy old sod, I'm sorry, but I was just trying to get a moment's peace.
Oh, God, sorry.
So, later, yeah? Just give me five.
But it's just, I thought you should know.
I'm just going to go and have
I've
a naughty
the
fag
soul
in the...
print.
Yeah. Good for you. Show me inside, yeah? God, it's totally frozen.
It's a specialist boot for outdoor use.
Jesus.
What's the matter? What? Are they yours?
Laid out on the driver's seat were clothes from my suitcase. My jacket, and inside that, my sweater. My jeans below that, and then my boots, as if I was... sitting there wearing them. And taken from my toilet bag back at Grace's. There, on the dashboard, my lipstick. He was inside your house, Grace. I hadn't even unpacked.
I'd locked up. I know I did.
Well, never mind that. You've seen what he did with them.
When did you leave your car?
We arrived at 6:30. I locked it.
Due respect, Frankie, that car, anyone could break into
no,
it.
No, not anyone, Spencer. This is him.
It doesn't necessarily mean he's
it
going
does,
to...
It does, Grace. He left my lipstick, for God's sake. Remember why he does that.
He's trying to scare you. It doesn't mean
it
that
It means
he's going to...
I am scared. And he knows where I live, so what's next?
It's all part of his drama. He's trying to sidetrack
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and while we're talking our heads off in here, he's in our car park doing this.
Easily done, especially with the snow. He'll only have left it for minutes and it was covered.
He's taken too many risks. He's touched my house, your car, your clothes.
I'll get Soko over there. And your car, Frankie. I'll have cops all over yours tonight, Grace. There won't be a safer place.
Thank you.
The results are in, Frankie. Professor Klein?
I was touched she'd come. I'd been her devoted student, her disciple, Astrid. A woman who'd spent her adult years inside the world of these tiny single-celled creatures, created in a time before time. Their million microfossil bodies had stacked up in chalk and limestone and the crumbling layers of ancient geologies, and stuck inside the tread of our murderer's boot.
Hundreds of diatoms would cover no more than a full stop on this page. Your sample contained an abundance of microfossils and planktonic algae which accumulates to form a white ooze on the ocean floors. And then, chalk.
So we're looking for chalk?
But very specific. These, and these, are unusual. They only live in brackish water.
The Thames is tidal.
Exactly. High tides salinate the river, but also the water table all around. So, let's narrow it down. And this, by the way... is your holy grail. Calcareous nanoplankton. And here, Miocene age pollen grains of hickory. They're very unusual. All your diatoms, living and fossils are from wetlands. So, I suspect you're looking for a quarry. Open up that map, Francis, north of Hackney, yes? From my knowledge of tertiary outcrops, there's only one location where all these factors coexist.
This is amazing. Can you narrow it down any further?
Over to you now, I'm afraid.
We're on it. Mel, we'll need a dog and a diving team.
Right, I'll organise a 4x4 and backup unit.
Let's get it sorted.
What do you think?
Well, I think this is about the body, not where he's got the girl. And should we be chasing this when we've got so little time?
No, but it's all we've got. And Frankie, if this is Jilly, the girl McTeer says he never touched, if you can find fibres on her linking him to her, we'll destroy his appeal and clear Boyd.
And she could help us find the creep, so... Come on, let's go.
No, hang on, look. Your answer machine's flashing.
But they're waiting for us, Grace.
Please, Frankie, answer it.
Okay. Poor Grace. Kate had promised to ring her, but 24 hours later, nothing.
You know who this is, bitch. Grace will tell you. You'll have to pay. And you know how.
We can't trace the call through a switchboard.
How's he got your name, Grace?
McTeer. They're back in their old partnership again.
Well, he said I'm going to pay.
Frankie, you're going to be totally safe. I'll make sure of that. I'm going to catch this psycho.
This is what he wants. You scared and distracted. Frankie.
No, okay. So I won't be. All right. Everyone happy?
Okay, 45 minutes of daylight tops.
This is a wasteland, Spencer. This isn't where he's keeping the girl.
We're looking for Jilly Bristow here. Stand the SWAT team down now.
Okay. He's dumped her in a lake. Which one?
It was a windswept white. The main lake had a car park obliterated by snowdrifts, and the water frozen black and deep.
Okay, let's take a look and let Fido do his thing.
Kinder.
Huh?
That's her name. She's a she.
Okay.
Just saying. She's not going to smell anything, surely. 3 years on.
It's possible. If he left her somewhere, he'd get her into the water.
But what about the snow and the cold?
Their sense of smell is over 1,000 times more acute than ours. Cadaver dogs are something else. Let's go. There's some sort of shed, collapsed now, but it's a jetty. So, maybe underneath? If the dog gets a hit, we can narrow down the search area for the divers.
She's found something already, look at her.
Why isn't she barking?
Taught not to. They sit.
But she's sitting, enthusiastically.
Ah, false positive. Somebody's chicken leg or a dead fox. That's the problem, they zone in on decomposition, not... just human flesh.
Something else. Look at her.
Yes, thumbs up from her handler. Okay, that's where he put her. Let's rig the lake. The divers start here.
The divers pulled on wetsuits and their team on either side rolled out a guide wire to straddle the lake. The temperature dropped. Out in the black, the Zodiac boat broke up the ice. The entire lake shuddered. The wire sank to the bottom. New water waited to freeze over.
They're saying they might not dive. The water keeps freezing over. We can't wait.
They're pushing right to the edge, Frankie. The temperature's dropping a degree an hour. They're deciding now. Jordan. Okay, thank you. They'll give it 1 hour.
Dropping now. HQ green. Roger that, Diver One.
I knew what he'd be going through. I'd been diving with the police in the Thames. Black as night, you could see absolutely nothing as you held your glove to your mask. It was the claustrophobia of the grave. And right now, the diver sank deep and fast. These flooded quarries went down suddenly for half a mile. He must have dumped her and felt so safe. He cleaned his car, scrubbed it with bleach, and closed the book. She was gone forever. Diver One was on his last shift.
HQ Green. Contact. Wrapped object, probably a body. Over. Roger that, Diver One. Diver Two will assist. Out.
And slowly, slowly, They brought the black wrapped shape to the surface. A body, for sure. A harness helped them and they swam it slowly ashore. As we waited, the snow had stopped completely. Clouds had been clearing all evening, and now there was starlight and a rising moon. The water was silvered. The black frogmen pushed up their visors and gulped down the freezing air.
Frankie, I need you to slit it open and check it's her.
Spencer, I can't do that. Not here.
I have to know. Just check her. Her face.
Oh, come on. You know what happens.
Her teeth, then. He'll have done her teeth.
Not necessarily. That was McTeer's thing.
Just check, please.
Well, it's hard to see. Adipocere.
Just try anyway.
Yep. Lipstick on her teeth. It's her.
Okay. Thank you. Before we take her out, please, can we just hold a moment together?
When he started, I was about to walk. Spencer was religious, and for me, no way. But as we stood there, blown snow in our faces...
This is the real moment of Jilly Bristow's death.
This band of people who'd all return home with this in their heads tonight. Those words made sense.
Finding her now
gave comfort.
To restore her to her parents.
To give respect for this poor lost girl.
Farewell.
Not a body.
She died here.
Respect for ourselves.
With us.
Her witnesses.
Let's affirm together now that we will bring her killer to justice.
The body had been wrapped in thick black plastic sacks and wound round with gaffer tape. It had done its accidental job and protected her, but 3 years had wrought its own work.
I need to tell you, Francis, that there were two inconsistencies with the last results I gave you.
But it all worked, Prof. I mean, you got us here.
But there were two samples which denoted a completely other environment, not consistent with the lake at all. One should never ignore the parts of the jigsaw that don't fit.
Well, of course. So what do they suggest?
Probably they'll make more sense once you get more from this poor young woman. She's your priority now. I will analyse any further samples once you have them, and then we'll try and pull it all together.
So we laid Jilly on the trolley. Her entire body was covered in a creamy, marbled veneer, adipocere. When Spencer had made me look at her, I knew that's why I'd face. A waxy layer created by anaerobic bacteria. The bag and the water had sealed her.
Okay, my best bets are scrapings from the fingernails and any trace in the hair.
And the nasal passages. The tiny hairs of nostrils will give us any pollen she may have inhaled. Oh, and try and find earwax.
Okay, let's make a start. All right, look. Round her ankles, there's a thin binding wire.
It's fishing line.
God, he couldn't resist, could he? He had to give us a clue, which was dangerously close to home.
Did you get a list of all the Fishing Lake memberships, ma'am?
I will have it in the morning, and I'll cross-reference with ex-army.
I need Jilly's fingerprints before I scrape the nails.
No probs, I can do that.
Really? You'll need a strong stomach.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Well, I'll need to make incisions around her wrists and then slip the skin off the hands.
I think I've read about this.
Not everyone can do it.
No, but I can, I'm fine.
Okay, you'll have to slip your hands inside her skin as if you're putting on a glove. And then carefully take the prints. And you do have the smallest hand, so...
It makes total sense. Leave it to me.
It was almost biblical. The two of us combing Jilly's hair, jagged and shorn from where he'd cut it, to mimic McTeer. A fine comb with absorbent lint dredging out even the smallest particles. And then we washed her hair. Gently straining the water, and combed again.
There's an untold wealth of material here.
Hang on, there's Something here.
The adipocere's thinner around her neck and here.
Yeah. I'll just scrape away the top layer.
It's a necklace. On a fine chain. I can just tease it away and... Oh, yes. Something on it.
Hang on, I'll drop it in the emulsifier. And then clean it. And let's see.
Her St. Christopher. Poor girl.
Oh, crap!
What? What's the matter?
Mattia always took a souvenir. They said he took her locket.
But she's wearing this.
Yeah, but if it was Mattia, surely he'd have taken this as well.
A small shred of hope fell away. I left Astrid working, deep in her world. We were on the brink of a breakthrough. I could feel it. The snow had totally stopped now. The skies had cleared and the moon lofted from the lake. The world was made of ice and felt as fragile. We had just 2 days left. Grace hugged me like a kid coming home.
Your supper's in the kitchen. I've run you a bath. And the thing is, Frankie, I've been thinking. You see, I know enough, have seen enough, and I understand. I know what happened, not the detail, but its awfulness. And, dear Frankie, even if it's not to me, that must be told.
Grace, can I just have a bath? And suddenly, I was about to tell her everything.
That will be our protection officer. You stay there. I'll get rid of him. Oh. Kate.
Hey, Mum.
What?
I had my bath and knew I'd head back to the lab straight after, kip on the camp bed for a few hours, and then get on with the work. My time with Grace had just ended. I grabbed a towel, and I suppose I went to check myself in the mirror. And that's when I saw it. I couldn't move. This had been left for me. On the steamed up glass were 5 words. You bitch. Time to pay.
In episode 3 of The Unforgiven by Barbara Machin, Frankie was played by Holly Aird, Grace by Sue Johnston, Mel, Claire Goose, Spencer, Will Johnson, Eddie McTeer, Justin Salinger, Jenny, Amelia Laudell, Astrid, Frances Barber, Marcus Perriman, Jonathan Forbes, Diver, Luke Bailey, and HQ Green was Ryan Early. The Unforgiven was directed by Allegra McElroy.
And The Unforgiven continues at the same time.